Well, it was probably maybe only about 10, 15 years ago that I was sitting in the same place as you. Alex is doing the math and he says, there's no way that's possible. But if I bring Logan to stand beside me, we almost look like twins. Don't we, Logan?
Mm-hmm.
We're very close. Well, it's really not too much of a laughing matter, but it was a few years ago that I sat there. And I can remember some brothers that would get up and speak to the young people, and I think, oh, boy, they're so good at that. I sure wish I could do that someday. And I could never imagine that it was anywhere near as hard as it really is to stand before some young people that are as wonderful and lovely as you and tell you about the Lord Jesus. But what we had before us today is something that most certainly has been on my heart for a while. And it was such that it allowed me to maybe mention it a little bit in the reading meeting. And it was because of myself as a young person that I don't believe I really entered in so much to know and understand the place that the Lord had brought me into through salvation alone. And it made me to think, I got 15 minutes, I think. It made me to think so much about Mephibosheth. And this had come up in the breaking of bread meeting a few weeks ago, and it's been on my heart ever since. And you know, if you look in 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4, you see that Mephibosheth there was a son of Jonathan. Jonathan was a son of Saul. And when word had come back that Saul and Jonathan had been killed, well, the servant ran, the nurse ran with Mephibosheth, and they fell, or Mephibosheth fell, and he was lame on both of his feet. And he refers to himself in chapter 9, I believe, as such a dead dog as I. And that's the place that I was in my sins. I was just a dead dog, lame on both of my feet. And the Lord picked me up, and he drew me to himself, and he brought me in. And David said, is there not one? Is there not one? And he finds out about Mephibosheth in chapter 9, and he says, fetch him to me. Fetch him to me. And isn't it such that the Lord draws you and I to himself? And what a place it was that Mephibosheth was brought into, that he would be invited in to the king's chamber. We can read that in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and I'll have to read it because I can't quote it, but I can barely turn to it. Song of Solomon 1 and 4, it says, draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. And so it was that Mephibosheth was fetched. He was drawn in to that chamber of David, that special place. And he would sit at his table and he would eat continually of the bread that was there. Well, a little later on, I believe that, you see, David had to go off. And Mephibosheth wasn't able to go because he was lame on his feet. You can read it in chapters 19 and 21. But when David returned, and Mephibosheth knew he was coming, he ran. Well, he didn't quite run, but he went out. He went out to meet the king, that one, David. And how happy he was to meet him. And David said about dividing the land, all of that that was Mephibosheth's, and that he would divide it and share it with Ziba, the servant. But you know, Mephibosheth said, I don't want any of it. Give it all to Ziba. I don't want any of it. I just want to be with you. And that's what we had so much before us today. You know, it was sin. It was the fall of man, literally, in this case, that would separate you and I from being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, from being in the presence of God. You cannot come into the presence of sin. And it was that very same thing that would keep Mephibosheth and his family outside of the presence of David the king. And it was the same thing when you look in Genesis and you look at chapter 45 with Joseph. It was sin that kept his brothers from being anywhere near him, his family. You remember, he went to Egypt. He was sold into Egypt. But there was a famine. And his brothers came, and he knew who they were. And when he saw them, what did he say? Come near unto me. come near unto me. And he brought them up, and he showed them all his glory in Egypt, everything that was his. He said, show my father the glory that I have in Egypt. But he said, I will nourish you. And there it is, that in the presence of the king, in the presence of our Lord and Savior, is where you and I will be nourished. That was where Mephibosheth could be nourished, that he would eat continually at the king's table. So you and I, we have this wonderful privilege to be brought into such a place. What do we do with it? That is the question tonight. You know, Peter, we took this up at a dear brother's house just recently, and it brought to my mind that this was the same thought. In John chapter 21, Peter had already known and walked with the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus went to the cross. And Peter, he says to his friends, I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go fishing. Well, he was going to go back into a way in which he was taken out of. Why would he go back? Why would he return to something that the Lord had brought him away from? He said, I'm going to go fishing. And we have to be careful when you and I decide that we're going to step outside of the presence of the Lord. Because there were a few others there that were with Peter that day. And they said, we'll go with you. It's very easy to draw others away from the presence of the Lord. But he has brought us into this most wonderful place. And he sees them floundering out there in their fishing boats and trying to bring in some little bit of sustenance, and they got nothing. They got nothing. It says so in John chapter 21. They caught nothing. In John 15, it says, without me, ye can do nothing. So why do we take ourselves out of the presence of the Lord when he has so wonderfully brought us to himself, drawn us to himself? He loves us. Well, you know, he was so gracious and kind to Peter. He says the same thing. Come and dine. He already had the fish on the coals. He already had the bread prepared. And he is the bread of life. And we had today, what was that hymn? I've already forgotten it. Eugene spoke on it. Show us more of thy blessed ways. Show us more of thy blessed ways. That is how he shows us. He gives us his word. He invites us into his presence so that we might sit there at his table and enjoy all there is of him to enjoy. And it's all written here in his word. What do we do with it? I can only ask you because I know what I did with it. And I want to be honest with you. I want to tell you that I squandered a great deal of time when I was a young person. And I missed out on a tremendous amount of learning of not just how to be like him, but of how to be with him. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 1. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. Who is a ruler? A ruler is a king, a lord. And we have one. It is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It tells you in Micah chapter 5 and maybe verse 3 that there was a ruler that was born in Bethlehem Ephratah. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a ruler. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. You are there with that one who is all powerful, all wonderful, all loving, gracious, merciful, and he wants to lead you and I in the path of righteousness. Don't take ourselves out of that position and put ourselves in a position of being without. He wants us within. He wants us with him. He wants us to see of his love and then to rejoice in it. You know, we talk about Mephibosheth being lame on both of his feet. When you come to Acts chapter 4, you remember at Gate Beautiful, there was a man there who was lame on his feet probably nearly all his life, and he laid at the gate and he wanted to be healed. Do you remember that? And Peter, I can't remember. Peter and John. Thanks, Eugene. You could have told me that hymn too, couldn't you? Acts chapter 3 it is. Peter and John. And it says that they came during the hour of prayer in Acts chapter 3. And here was this man. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, and Peter fastened his eyes upon him when John said, "Look on us." Verse 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." You know this hymn, don't you? "But such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Isn't that wonderful? So it's such that on our lame feet, he brings us into his presence. He sits us at his table. He shows us all things that we can enjoy. And now we can go out before all mankind, and we can be as walking and leaping and praising God. What is it? It is a testimony to the world that you and I belong to Christ. And we had there today before us that we can learn more to be like him. Well, we can show forth all those characteristics that are his. Every one are available to you and I to walk just like him. Peter says in chapter 4, I had a little help with this verse earlier today. Chapter 4 and verse 10, they were wondering how this man could go from being lame on his feet, how this man could go from laying there at this gate beautiful for so many years and now be walking and leaping and praising God. Peter says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Isn't that wonderful? What a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ to have such a thing said about him. Here's this ruler, born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth. Here he is. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you all. Wouldn't it be wonderful that if every man in this world, every woman in this world, every person could see Christ in you and I because we're rejoicing, walking and leaping and praising God? Wouldn't that be wonderful? I read it in the Young People's Calendar just the other day, and I thought it was a good way to put it. You and I might be the only Bible somebody in this world gets to read. So, I just present that to you to consider the most wonderful place that you've been brought into. There's probably many other examples in the Bible. That was only three. But we've been taken out of darkness and we've been brought into his marvelous light. Let us enjoy it. Let us soak it up. Let us be nourished by it, and let us walk in it in such a way that it will glorify the Father, but it will be a help and a blessing to each and every one of us. You know, it's so easy to tear things down. You know it. Anybody build Lego? You can tear it down way faster than you can build it up. Well, we have an opportunity to build one another up until the Lord comes. It's hard work sometimes, but he tells us always that we should be building. Never says we should be tearing down. So let's build one another up until he comes.